You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bache, host of The Entrepreneurs. This week, we're off to Seattle to hear the story of Canlis, the 70-year-old fine dining institution which is anything but stuck in the past. It's run by third-generation owners Brian and Mark Canlis, brothers who've been breathing new life into the family business for the past decade. Recently, when coronavirus struck, Brian and Mark used it as an opportunity to rethink their offerings and to flex their creative muscles. They've pivoted operations and have managed to not even lay off a single employee. Here's Brian now speaking to Monocle's Will Kitchens.
My name is Brian Canlis, along with my brother Mark. We are the third generation owners of Canlis Restaurant in Seattle. We're actually fourth generation restaurateurs. Our great grandfather came over from Greece. He opened a little diner in Stockton, California, called the Food Palace and Fish Grotto, with the motto, "If it swims, we serve it," which is amazing. My grandfather opened up this restaurant in 1950 in Seattle. And let's see, he ran it for about 25, 27 years. And then when he died, my dad took over. And then my brother and I took over about 10 years ago, 15 maybe. And now this is our 70th year. And we are an unusual 70-year-old restaurant in that I think most old restaurants, their business model or their business strategy is to continue to do the thing that made them famous in the first place. I think maybe even to use nostalgia as a strategy. And we aren't. I think we're the youngest 70-year-old restaurant in the world. We act and behave like a brand new restaurant every year.
And obviously with the restaurant industry and the hospitality industry facing really an unprecedented crisis right now, Canlis has made some pretty interesting sort of shifts to its business model and is adapting.
We had a meeting actually even earlier than you might think, even before they were talking about shutting down restaurants or before any restrictions on movement. Our numbers were starting to decline, like most restaurants in the country, of people not wanting to go out. And we saw the writing on the wall. I had recently returned from a trip to South Korea where I saw their response to COVID and was amazed at their sense of urgency, even though they had the same number of cases as the US did. You come back to the US and nothing is happening here. We had a meeting, my brother and I, saying, I think things are gonna get worse. And so when it came to, okay, what are we gonna do if the rules are changing? The rule is people don't want to congregate and people need to stay safe. And it's not really the time for fine dining and spending a lot of money on a fancy meal. How do we continue to stay Canlis, continue to stay true to who we are as a business, and then play by these new rules? And so we came up with three concepts, a breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mind you, we are only a dinner restaurant. So in 3 days, we launched back-to-back three restaurants. We launched a bagel shed in the morning, which was fresh bagels made by hand in a big wood-burning oven with coffee and breakfast sandwiches. And then we launched a drive-through restaurant. We did about 1,000 burgers a day for lunch. And that was a huge, crazy operation. And then at night, we did family meal delivery. So we would deliver fully cooked and prepared meals to your home. And so that was quite a week. Each different concept has its own branding and logos and uniforms. And because we believe you don't just put your toe in the water. Like you dive in. You need to do a complete embrace of a turn. We had to let fine dining and the dining room die. It had to go away. We had to just have a funeral and say, this is over for a while. How do we throw our entire selves into being three completely different restaurants? And that was something. We had the wonderful problem, but it really was a problem, of being too popular, because we shut down the entire neighborhood for a mile away, the lines to get in, and that was really hard. It was hard on our staff, it was hard on our neighborhood, it was hard on our guests. We were just trying to do something good, and we were trying to keep, how do we keep 115 employees employed? That was hard. We got so crushed with demand that we really struggled with how to keep our staff, our guests, our neighborhood happy and safe. As more information came out and as social distancing started and as things around mask wearing and 6 feet away started happening, we realized it became nearly impossible to do that while serving 1,000 burgers in 2 hours. And so we shut down the drive-thru and we shut down the bagel shed and we pivoted to expanding meal delivery. We went from kind of 100 to 200 delivered a night to almost 1,000 a night. And we added wine pairings and we added cocktail kits so that we could, and then we added CSA boxes now where we do grocery, we give you a week's worth of produce and proteins from our favorite farmers around the region. And then we thought, okay, how do we keep making this canvas? How do we keep in reinventing it? And so we added, I think last Monday, we started doing it Monday before. We had our piano players, we have three of them, and they didn't have jobs. So we started a piano player live stream so people could eat their dinner and then watch our live piano at night. People are dying for a reason to take their sweatpants off and like actually get dressed up. And so people are getting dressed and putting on the piano and they're lighting a candle and we send flowers with every meal and they're creating these special moments. And so suddenly where those moments were created in our dining room floor are on our dining room floor, they're not being created in everyone's home.
How many deliveries would you estimate you're doing on an average night now?
We turned all my dining room employees into delivery drivers because we've converted our entire dining room. Pieces of our dining room are now pieces of kitchen. And there's assembly, and one whole area of our dining room is just floor-to-ceiling cardboard boxes. So now we're doing about 600 meals a night. We haven't laid off a single employee.
Are you optimistic that this is going to be a sustainable model to carry you through however long this lasts?
Yes. I think we have to continue to innovate. We have to continue to make it worthwhile. Like the novelty of ordering a canless dinner was really novel 2 or 3 weeks ago. Now everyone's done it. So how do I keep that? How do I make it worth it? How do I make it special? We're designing different fun things to hide in the box for people. We're starting merch. We're known for our dress code because we're the only restaurant in the city with a dress code. And we get a lot of flack for it sometimes because we're Seattle, we're supposed to be casual, but we love being the last place that you can actually dress up. But we've created a pair of camless sweatpants. In fact, we just launched this Monday. We're launching bingo night. So everything that we deliver has two bingo cards in it. And then on Friday night, we're going to interrupt the live stream. And I think we're going to put on like a tuxedo and a glitzy sequin dress and do a game show. We're going to do a live bingo for the... We will have delivered about 3,000 bingo kits across the entire city. So the whole city will get to play bingo on our live stream, and we're giving away a whole bunch of prizes. And we'll do that every week. We have to continue to innovate. And if we do, which we will, because that's everything we're working on, yeah, I think it's sustainable. In fact, I think it's so sustainable that we're looking at what it would look like to keep this going even once we reopen the dining room. It's fun to see how everything that we're doing now from an innovation standpoint is we're already allowing it to impact how we're going to be a different restaurant when we return.
Brian Canlis there, speaking to Monocle's Will Kitchens. My thanks to Brian and to Will for conducting this interview. And thanks to Christy Evans, who mixed and edited this show. For more inspiring stories of business, do subscribe to the podcast of The Entrepreneurs and tune in for a brand new episode on Wednesday. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.